This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roseville County Historical Society. At the Mo Rose Cemetery, 3 miles west of Roseville, there's a monument with the names of 3 young servicemen who all died from the Spanish influenza epidemic of 1918. Carol Tilburg, who has chronicled the veterans of Roseville County, tells me they all died in 1918 at Camp Grant, Illinois. I'm trying to find out how they came to all be listed on the same gravestone. If anyone knows, please pass that information on to me. In the Roseville County Museum's most recent newsletter, Britt included an article written and researched by Charlene Haugen in 2004. I'll read some of that story today. The 1918 pandemic influenza caught the people of Roseville County totally by surprise. The first notification that there was an influenza epidemic came in September 1918 when the military began to send home the victims' bodies. Among the first flu victims to arrive back home in Roseville County were Anton B. Johnson, 22-and-a-half-year-old son of Mr. and Mrs. Andrew F. Johnson of Fox, Emil Novotny, Arthur Shadeen, August Edward Rodfeldt, and Adelard Gibo. James S. Novotny, who was on furlough to attend his brother Emil's funeral, was stationed at the Great Lakes Naval Training Station. He stated to the Badger Herald Wrestler that there were 20,000 cases of influenza among the 70,000 men, with 1,500 deaths in Camp 1. Records indicate there were about 50,000 soldiers at that naval training base. 2,600 soldiers there became infected within 1 week of the first case. Adelard Gibo's father, Joseph, reported hundreds of bodies of soldiers piled up in caskets in New York, ready for shipment, all victims of the influenza. No military base in the United States was spared the epidemic. Fear struck Roseville County in the fall of 19 when local men returned from North Dakota harvest fields and brought the epidemic. By October, there were about 150 cases, most of which could be traced to the North Dakota region. Concerned with the increase in cases, the County Board of Health issued a ban on all indoor meetings, including church services, Red Cross meetings, and the ban also closed funerals to outsiders. Any public, semi-private, or private group situation was covered by this ban. A no-loitering order rule was placed in Roseville, along with an 8 o'clock curfew to keep children off the street. By November 1st, 18 homes had been hit by influenza. Measures to prevent an epidemic became more evident. Quarantine signs appeared on houses, and infected families were required to notify the Board of Health in their villages and townships. Safety measures were enacted at barbershops, pool halls, bowling alleys, restaurants, and stores, which were required to close by 6:30 p.m. A patrolman walked the community, and everyone complied. The towns closed all indoor meetings except school. Greenbush even contacted the State Board of Health to see if schools should be closed. Their response was, "Keep the schools going." But the schools closed as the epidemic prevailed. Greenbush for 5 weeks, Badger for 3 weeks, Roseville for about 3 weeks, and Warroad for 8 weeks. Children could not return to school until 5 days after the last person in the house recovered and a certificate of health was obtained. Appeals were made to the State Board of Health to supply nurses. The Warroad Board of Health was taken over by the Village Council. Nightly meetings were held to try to track and combat the epidemic. Their Red Cross chapter, under the direction of Mrs. C. A. Moody, R. W. Horn, and Mrs. Jens Martin, was in charge of finding nurses to care for flu victims. The former Perry's Tailor Shop became a hospital to care for those who had no home in Warroad. The influenza pandemic had hit several families in Roseville County with vengeance. Hardest hit were teenagers to about 40 years old. The whole county was touched by the infection. Newspapers recorded the names of the sick and dying. During the first week in November, 2 young mothers died. Mary Brotherston Camel, age 33, left her husband Frank with 8 children to rear. Mrs. Wesley Proska Vasura, age 24, left a husband and 2 small children, while Mary's mother and a sister lay ill. The death tally rose quickly. Arthur Peterson, age 19, of Cleetson, and Harry Andel of Duxby, age 14, passed away. In Warro, the Peter Goulet family lost three teenage daughters, Louise, Josephine, and Delphia. The Rasmus Holland family buried three children in the Rose Cemetery, Albert, 28, Benny, 23, and Ida, 15. Another daughter of the Hollands died in Larimore, North Dakota. Early in November, S.T. and T.B. Holdall visited Winoska and found Knut Lee was the only one person not affected by the flu. Knut was busy running his store, the bank, and other interests. Near the end of November, when George Marvin visited Salo, he found that entire village sick. He spent the day bringing in water and wood and doing other chores for the ill. On December 12th, the World Pioneer reported he had been confined to home with the flu 14 days. The Lake of the Woods Native Americans suffered many deaths. Isidore Siegel, a fur trader, had been to Crow Lake Portage, where only one man and three children had survived in a village of 30. Sometime in November, an influenza serum became available. Ward's Dr. Parker began inoculating patients. On December 11th, the Badger Herald Wrestler reported that flu vaccinations were being given by a doctor and the school nurse, Olga Hansen. The inoculations decreased the flu cases and the severity of illness. Many schools reopened, but in December, the flu hit a second time in Warroad. 30 cases were reported, and the school closed again. Although the pandemic was not totally over by the end of 1918, 1919 brought healthier times to Roseau County. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.